Good evening and welcome to Blogs, Bloggers, and Blogging. Over the next hour, we'll be examining the slice of internet culture known as the blogosphere, what it is and does, who's involved in it, and its impact on both journalism and the idea of community. Your calls are welcome, but we'll get some business taken care of first. I'm Ken Siebert, YPR's new media manager, which is just a fancy way of saying guy who deals with computers and digital technology. I'll be moderating the discussion and directing traffic. Some introductions are in order. We've assembled a crack team of panelists tonight. For those in the comic book know, I feel a little bit like Professor X, you know, assembling a team of X-Men here. Ed Kemick is the Billings Gazette's community affairs reporter and writes a Sunday column called City Lights. His blog, also called City Lights, launched on Labor Day in 2003. Ed, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
David Crisp is editor and publisher of the Billings Outpost, a weekly newspaper founded in 1997. He teaches English and journalism at Rocky Mountain College and is a writing tutor at MSU Billings. His blog, Billings Blog, was also launched in 2003. David, thank you.
Ken.
Karen Hergenreiter was born in, let's just get that clear since I screwed it up on the promo, was born and raised in New York City and has lived in Montana on and off since 1980. She and her husband raise cattle, sugar beets, barley, corn, hay, and oats in Carbon County. She credits her experiences with Ed's City Lights blog as the motivating factor for starting her own blog, Carbon County Moose. Karen, thank you.
Thank you.
And Craig Sprout is a Montana native who got his first computer at age 12, officially rendering him a geek forever. His history with the internet dates back to 1994, and his blog, MontanaPolitics.net, came into being in 2002. Craig, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
All of our panelists' blogs, as well as links to sites that can facilitate you getting your own blog, and a couple of articles of interest, are available on the YPR website, www.ypradio.org. Okay, let's get this ship launched. What exactly is a blog?
Well, I think the blog can best be summed up. It's just an online journal where people make posts, whatever they're thinking or whatever they want to talk about, in reverse chronological order. That is to say, the newest posts are first and trail down to the last, and they can be about anything under the sun, anything and everything.
And so let's just define a post, too. I mean, let's realize that there are people out there who, you know, have no experience with this. So,
well, a post would be where someone gets an idea and sits down and just types, whether it can be a paragraph, a sentence, or, you know, an 800 to 1,000-word essay about whatever they got on their mind.
And when we say the blogosphere, I mean, there's all these words now that are associated with it. When we say the blogosphere, what is it that we mean?
Well, the blogosphere is just usually referred to as the collective of blogs.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, you know, from either side of the spectrum, from left to right, middle, up, down, just the whole gestalt of the blogs.
And blogs have definitely come into some prominence, especially during, I think, the 2004 election cycle. People say 2003 was the year of the blogs, but I think that was just getting the ball rolling. I really think the 2004 election cycle got that going, and we've got Ed and David here to speak a little bit to the intersection between blogs and journalism. For most of the blogs that are, let's say, politically oriented or that are dealing with the news, how from your experience, David, how do blogs interact with traditional or mainstream journalism?
Normally, they're pretty critical of mainstream journalism. There's a lot of attacks in the blogs on journalists like us, people who make a living doing reporting. There's an element of triumphalism in the blogosphere, bloggers who think that they are the antidote to mainstream media, and it's just a matter of time before we go crumbling into dust.
Ed, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Not for now. Sorry.
Okay, that's good. We should mention that both Craig and Ed are blogging while this program is going on. We would like to take your calls, questions, comments, anything that you have for the panel in Billings, 657-2941. Anywhere else in the known universe, 1-800-441-2941. Give us a call with your questions or comments. And I'd like to go now, this is open to the panel. Do we overrate the importance of blogs and underrate the access that the internet as a whole gives us to various sources of information. I think that on the one hand, if you look at it, the New York Times has more of a readership online than they do in their actual print subscriptions. So when we're talking about blogs, it's kind of come up as a new phenomenon, but are we overrating it already?
Yeah, probably. I mean, one of the beauties of the internet really is the access it gives you to original documents. You know, I was listening to Sean Hannity talking about the Terry Schiavo case for several days, and he was saying a lot of pretty disturbing things, if true. And I was able to go online, and actually I found it through a blog. I found the report that was filed by the last Guardian ad litem in the case. And it's a tremendous resource of great detail. And there's a lawyer in Florida who keeps a blog about developments in that case. And you can go back and trace everything that happened in almost infinite detail. And I think it's that access to original documents that really makes the internet valuable. And the blogosphere is kind of a way of assembling that and referring to it, cross-referencing it.
Okay, and let's talk about credibility in blogs. What and again, open to the entire panel, what in your mind makes a blog credible? Let's start with you, Karen.
Credible as far as what? If you're talking about a political blog.
I'm just talking about blogging in general. When you go to a blog, what's something that's going to make you want to go back to it? And what are the things, the alarm signs that you're going to look for in your mind?
Well, I think that most people, unless they are strictly looking for one thing in particular, you can find anything you want. You can find a blog on anything. Mm-hmm. Just do a Google search, put cat blog. You'll be overwhelmed, believe me. There's too many of them. But people blog about everything, and I don't think, as far as credibility, I think it's what a person likes. If a person goes to a blog and doesn't like the pictures, doesn't like the tone, they can just click. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to stay there. Recently, I got an email from someone, and they said that there are only a handful of blogs worth reading. And I thought, well, that's like saying, to me, that's like saying there's only a handful of books worth reading. If you have certain interests, you can find them. If you're looking for political things, you're sure to find them. But I think, too, that there's controversy, there's propaganda on all sides. There's not just propaganda on one side, whether you're talking about religion, whether you're talking about politics, whether you're talking about wolves. You're going to find people that are screaming on either side.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't like the screamers. I'd rather, well, like I said earlier, I've got the Rodney King blog. Can we all just get along? Now, I know better than that, but I watch myself on my own blog. I don't use four-letter words, and anyone that knows me personally knows that I do, mm-hmm. but they're not on my blog.
So you use your blog as a way to build bridges as opposed to blowing things up, which I think David was kind of saying, and especially when it comes to the mainstream media, there is a lot of, if not outright antagonism, there definitely is that poking at it. And you say that on your blog and the blogs that you visit, you're trying to look at those things that are sort of...
Not necessarily the blogs I visit, but my blog, I would like people to feel comfortable there. I've only had to take off one post, and it wasn't a flame, you know, it wasn't someone screaming, it wasn't anything really horrible, it was spam.
Mm-hmm.
I took one post off there, and I know that, you know, I read other, like I'll read Ed's blog, and now it's a little bit better because because it's being chaperoned, but you know, you don't want to read something that someone has cut and pasted 8 pages of propaganda, whatever it is, or that has given you 47 links. If you're interested in it, you can click on the links. You really don't want to look at 8 pages of something that someone has cut and pasted.
Okay. And Ed, let's go to that. City Lights is to some level moderated then. The comments as they come in can be reviewed beforehand. And we're talking about you write your post, you talk about what it is that you want to talk about there. And then that field is open and there's a small form at the bottom where people can fill in their name. And they can use a pseudonym if they wish, and then they post their comments. And once that's been reviewed, then that goes up and becomes part of the comments there. Can you talk a little bit about the moderating process that goes on there?
Yeah, it's a real simple technological thing. It just comes in as an email, basically. I'm notified by email if somebody wants to post a comment, which allows me or somebody else, if I'm not there, to read the comment. And you can either approve it or delete it. And when we first started, it was just wide open, as most blogs are. And in fact, it was just unheard of, we thought, when we started, that we would, you know, kill anything or edit anything, because it was the blogosphere. Things were supposed to be wide open and free. But I just had too many flamers, too many people who were joining the discussion with no other intention than to rile people up or insult people or use a lot of the four-letter words that Karen was talking about. It just got, you know, not very much fun, basically. It wasn't so much that we were worried about libel or anything else. It just plain wasn't fun. It was driving people away, so...
This is akin to kicking out the drunk guy at the hockey game. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, let's not pick on drunks at hockey games.
Okay. And Craig, with a name of a blog named MontanaPolitics.net, I mean, obviously you've thrown yourself into the political fray in terms of... Now, do you see yourself as a journalist? Are you commenting on journalism or commenting on... There's a lot of your comments, you know, in reading your blog... They use humor very effectively, and there's a lot of comments about the legislature. There's a lot of comments about the goings-on up there, but they tend to reference what I guess you would call traditional journalists, the reporting work that they've done. Can you talk a little bit about how you assemble your blog and the things that you write about?
Well, and this goes back to credibility, and you know, I don't think the blogs are going to put the newspapers out of business. Quite frankly, we're in the commentary business for the most part. Now, is there some journalism going on in blogs? Absolutely. You know, you look at what happened with Dan Rather and the forged documents. That perked up through the blogosphere.
And you've done some journalism on your blog.
A little bit. But it's for me, it's limited to stuff that interests me. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, my blog's called Montana Politics, but I also find stupid flash games that mm-hmm. amuse me. So, you know, I try not to get too tied to my domain name, but, you know, it's just largely what interests me, what ticks me off, what grinds my gears. But we're not, these guys, Ed and David and their guys, they're out doing the legwork. By and large, we're not. We're just picking at their ankles.
If I could jump in, too, this is Ed again. This was kind of funny. When I first started 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, I think one of my very early posts was about Craig had called the Gazette, in fact, had called me on a story about something. It was politics. I think it was Dick Cheney's visit to Billings. And he was wrong about the Gazette's stance on that or about what we chose to write. So I just posted about that, and so right away it was kind of funny, because here the blogs were set up to put a check on the dreaded mainstream media. One of my first posts, I was putting a check on the local Montana Politics blog. So we've done a lot of that, you know, back and forth. I mean, it's not just a one-way street. It's kind of fun for both of us. And I felt bad. I felt like I was picking on him or something. But
well, you know, and this Craig jumping in again is that when... You know, I remember the comment I made, and this is kind of a failing of blogs, is that, you know, the Gazette archives only go back so far. And so we're, you know, you're limited to how far you can search, and I couldn't find any mention of, and I can't remember what the article was. I couldn't find it, but Ed came back and said, no, this is what we did run, and my next post was, whoops, I was wrong. Here's the real deal. Check it out. And I think, again, that goes back to credibility. You know, if you can say, you know, I was wrong here, look at this, mm-hmm. I messed up, here's the real deal.
And it also speaks to the immediacy of it as well, because being an electronic medium like this, it allows you to do that. In traditional, you know, media, you might have to wait 2-3 days later to print either a retraction or a correction. This can happen within minutes of receiving an email or something like mm-hmm. that. We have a phone call now. Let's go to a caller from Billings. Go ahead.
Well, hello to everyone on our esteemed panel. This is T.L. Hines calling in. Nice to talk with everyone. Great program. I'm happy to see blogging become a subject matter on the radio. I just wanted to call with a comment. It was interesting, I thought, today, if you read in today's Gazette, a couple items in the technology section about blogging and the growth of blogging. Interesting to look at the Technorati report talking about the number of blogs they've been tracking has doubled since October of 2004, which is really a fast growth curve. And I also thought it was interesting, or I thought it was good what Karen said earlier about, you know, blogs being out there for any kind of interest area. I think people have this idea out there that blogs are all about politics and all about rants and raves, and that is largely what happens in some areas, but there are a lot of blogs that are just on so many different interest areas, and I think a lot of what the appeal of blogging is kind of the voyeurism of being able to look into other people's lives. I think of someone like Sarpy Sam, who has a blog and is a cattle rancher, and it's very interesting to go read just the thoughts of a cattle rancher. Is such a nice, fun, different perspective from what you would usually get on different stories.
Okay. Did you have a question you wanted to throw out, or were you just making a comment?
Oh, I was just making a comment. You know, I can't blog, so I might as well call in and make the comment right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we're going to go now, and this, I think, also illustrates the power of the Internet. We should mention that this program has been debated in a lot of the Montana blogs over the past couple of weeks, somewhat vociferously in certain circles, but it's been out there for a while, and we have a caller from New Jersey. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jim Flynn. I'm a blogger from New Jersey and a regular reader of Karen's blog, Craig's blog, and Ed Kimmick's blog. I might have mispronounced it. Anyway, I apologize.
Perfect.
I just want perfect. And I just thought it would be interesting to let you know the breadth, the reach of blogs, such that in New Jersey, I have on my blog roll, a subject you can discuss, numerous Montana bloggers, and I have become educated as to the wilds of Montana and the vast differences between Montana and New Jersey. And as a result of all of that, Montana is next on my must-visit list.
We've got the beer set out for you, Jim.
There you go. See, I know him.
I just love hearing your voice. I haven't heard an accent like that in a while. Thanks.
I like to think I don't have an accent.
I don't either.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your comments.
You're quite welcome. It's a great show.
Thank you. And we're now going to go to a call from the other end of the country, Arizona. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Troy from Scottsdale, Arizona. And just want to say that I really enjoy everybody's blogs. I've been reading them for the past 3 months. But my question is, what do you think Montana bloggers offer as a unique experience compared to the rest of the blogosphere?
Well, that's an excellent question. We'll get you off the air and let our Montana bloggers take a crack at it. Thank you very much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Well, that was Troy, and one thing that the Montana bloggers all have in common is we're all really good-looking, and we know that Troy's from Montana originally, so you'll fit right in.
But since it's, especially in this question for Craig and Karen, since you are blogging Montana, and especially Karen for you, because a lot of your blog centers around Montana history, you have an interest in genealogy, and you've married someone whose family dates back in that specific area of Montana back to 1900. So what is it that you think that you're presenting for the rest of the world when you're blogging about what you're blogging about Montana?
My interest is mostly history, so it's kind of funny what T.L. Hines was saying about just looking at, say, Sarpy Sam's and knowing that you're reading something about a Montana rancher. And even if you're in Montana, majority of people in Montana have no idea what ranch life is about. I didn't until 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was talking to someone today about my life to me is boring. And I think most people think that their lives are boring, but that little bit of being a voyeur and looking at someone else's life, and you think, oh, wow, that must be really interesting, but they're probably pretty bored with their life, too.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Montana community, it's been absolutely fabulous. When I first decided, you know, to blog, I contacted all these guys here and said, I'm thinking I'm going to start a blog, and everybody was really, really supportive. And all the bloggers that I've communicated with, either through their blogs, through commenting, or having them comment on my blog, and through emails, they've all been just absolutely great, just helpful, and just friendly.
So it's created a sense of community, just like,
sure,
let's say, you know, if you go to the high school basketball game, you know, there's a community there of people with similar interests and people who either, you know, live in the same neighborhood, they have the same questions about property taxes, they have the same, you know, in this sense, it's a community that has been built around the internet, but in that you've found both like minds and then people who are going to disagree with you, but they've come into it with that sense of at the end of the day, you're all still at least moderately friends. Is that...
Well, can you imagine talking about Sarpy Sam? This is Ed again. Sarpy Sam has to drive probably 90 miles to see somebody he's not related to, but he can go on the blog and make all these connections with people and hear back from them. I mean, it must really be an experience to be blogging from a place like that. But all of us in Montana, you know, it's no big deal to drive 200 miles to visit a friend, and there's something about blogging in Montana for that reason I think is a lot different from other places.
Mm-hmm. And the catchphrase for your site is it's a small town with a really long roads.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I should mention that on Craig's site, he's actually selling, you've got t-shirts, mugs, thong underwear for sale that
dang, I haven't even seen that.
that have your logo on it. And this is a way for you to sort of to generate some funds, at least to help, you know, at least pay for the cost of producing the blog and things like that, and also to generate a little buzz for your blog.
Well, actually, it's just so I can take my wife out to eat.
Yeah, that's excellent. We're gonna go now to a caller from Bozeman. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Mark Johnson, and I'm an aspiring writer. Would like to publish someday, and friends have suggested I start a blog to kind of share my ideas and see what kind of feedback I would get. Do you ever see blogging as a step towards publishing? And a separate question is, how much time does it take to maintain the postings and everything?
Let's go first to our editor and publisher for the publishing part of your question.
Well, it takes more time than I have to do as much blogging as I would like to do. I think it's quite likely that a lot of good writers who are discovered over the next 20 years or so will be discovered from their blogs. I think it's a good way to get noticed. It's a good way to test some of your ideas, and it is a good way to get some feedback. Whether it makes you a better writer or not, I'm not really sure. One of the things I was hoping blogging would do for me would be to help me, spur me to do some of my own writing. And I find that there's very little overlap between blogging and writing. It's a different kind of skill, I think. I haven't quite figured out what it is, but it doesn't work the same way.
Yeah, this is Craig jumping in with, and just to add on with what David's saying is that, you know, my original thought was to keep my writing chops up too, but I find that most time it's a paragraph or maybe two. But this is for me, and other people I've seen, you know, write, you know, a good site that comes to mind is ejecteject.com, and I'll link that up for you. But all of his posts are 1,000-plus word essays, and he leaves the comments open, and people are not shy at all about telling him what they think.
Well, and two vloggers one local and one recently moved away, David Summerlin, Meat Weapon,
oh, yeah,
and Todd over at Wailing and Gnashing of Teeth, they're both more kind of literary, I would
and
call
John
them.
Clayton, too.
Yeah. People who post, well, John Clayton, definitely. I mean, he ties it into books he's working on, articles. But even people who are primarily bloggers right now, those two come to mind as people who are using it as a way both of making themselves right and getting feedback, because for the beginning writer, the most important thing is, as everyone knows, to keep writing. But it's really hard to do if no one ever reads it. And the blogs give you at least a way to reach somebody.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
And I think this is a perfect point to segue into some of the technical aspects of it, because I think that there are people who are scared enough of the internet as it is, and the idea of starting your own blog, you know, what does that require of me? There are some links on the ypradio.org blog page of how to get your own blog, places like Blogger and TypePad and LiveJournal, things like that. Ed, you sent me an email that said absolutely no techie questions for you. Can you talk about what it is that you have to do to maintain your blog, the actual putting a post up? I mean, let's demystify it. What is it that you do when you want to add a post to your blog?
Well, in my case, I was able to call on the technical people at the Gazette to at least set it up. But as I understand it, even I could have done that if I needed to. And to actually post, all I have to do is go online to my site, and I hit log in, and my password's already there. All I do is hit log in, a box comes up, I type, I get done, I hit publish. It's online. It's that simple. There's really nothing nothing to the technical aspect of that.
And Karen, you kind of echo that. Now, you're probably the newest addition to the blogosphere in this group here. You've been blogging for 6-7 months or so.
Well, that's right. I started out as a wise commenter on Ed's blog. But I really started blogging because I tried to comment on another blog and it wouldn't take anonymous comments. And I got a little annoyed that I couldn't comment, so I started a blog. And if you go to blogger.com or I think it's blogspot.com, you can start a blog in 10 minutes without having any technical knowledge of HTML or anything. I hunt and peck. I don't even know how to type. And you don't have to spend any money on it. It's low budget, and a lot of times it doesn't work because it's the sheer volume, I think, of all the blogs that are on blogger.com. Because I tried to post, I don't know how many times the last couple of days, and it's just, like I said, it's the volume. There are plenty of other blogging software, you know, to use, but I'm sticking to this because it's free and I know what I'm doing as far as I know what I'm doing on this now. But it's there's no outlay of money, but yeah, it takes time.
And one of the things that I know Blogger lets you do is fill out a profile of yourself where you can be as, you know, intimate or anonymous as you wish to be in that. But one of the things that it does is it will link you to your location, Montana, even Billings. And when you hit that profile, you can see who the other bloggers are in Billings, who the other bloggers are across the state of Montana. So in that way, it's like built-in linking.
Yes.
You already have people who are going to link to you just simply because of where you're from.
Well, they might not necessarily link to you, but also on Blogger, you put your interests in and say, okay, some of my interests, history, cemeteries. Okay, a lot of the other people that are interested in cemeteries aren't interested in them for the same reasons I am. But you can click on and click who's interested in cemeteries, and it'll give you all the bloggers that are. It'll give you all the bloggers that are interested in beads and almost any interest you have.
Mm-hmm.
It'll do that for you.
I just wanted to jump in. We got an email from David Summerlin, who's in Seattle, and is quite a frequent commenter on Ed's blog and mine as well. And I'll just read his email and let someone take off with it. It says, here's a question for all four of you. Why did you start blogging? Fun? Vanity? The thrill of publishing? Wanted to engage people who think differently?
Let's start over here with David. As an editor and publisher, what made you want to enter into this medium of communication?
The thing that really got me excited about blogging was I'd written a story about the first national enforcement of the RAVE Act was here in Billings, which is the act that threatens to punish club owners who allow drugs to be consumed on the premises. And a DEA agent, a federal agent, threatened one of the local music venues with possible arrest because they were going to host a normal benefit concert, the pro-marijuana group. And they said, you know, if anybody gets arrested for marijuana, you could lose your license and be fined. And I wrote a story that was naturally picked up on all of the marijuana legalization sites in the country. And just tracking that story as it went around the country with numerous comments from hundreds of sources, you know, reprinted over and over again, got me pretty excited. And that's when I started checking into it. And I thought it might be a way to turn my weekly paper into something more of a daily paper, a chance to keep up with things as they happen on a daily basis. That really hasn't panned out because I don't have time to do it, but potentially that can happen. I think it will happen with papers all over the country. So I did it mostly for professional reasons.
Okay. Ed?
Well, I did it because I just have always liked the idea of newspapers making contact with readers. And, you know, we've always done that in some ways, letters to the editor or just taking phone calls from people and what have you. But the blog seemed like such an interesting, immediate way to make contact with people and to make journalism a two-way street. And I think also I just realized, even though I didn't really understand it, I understood it well enough to know that our future was somehow tied up with not blogs in particular, but with the Internet. I just felt like it was suicidal not to get involved, and I just wanted to try it out and see what it was all about, and it's been great.
Greg?
Well, I got into it just kind of as just more of a way to kind of share with friends who are no longer around and kind of see, ha-ha, isn't this funny, or look what we're up to back home type thing, and it kind of grew from there, and I tried different things, and more today, I've evolved a little bit, and right now my interest is I like writing about what's on my mind. I also like hearing from people on the other side of the fence to hear what they think about what I think, and we go back and forth, and for the most part, it's thoroughly enjoyable.
And Karen, you have a very interesting story about coming into the blog. Actually coming into the Internet at all over the last 4 years, your interest in genealogy, and then what you've already talked about, the not being able to post anonymously, and that sort of fueled you, but what are the reasons behind doing what you're doing?
Well, that was the original reason, but my blog, it just turned into whatever it is. I can't even say what it is. I'll post goofy pictures sometimes. I'll link to a weird story. I like Bigfoot, and I know, you know, that Ed likes Bigfoot too.
Is this Bigfoot the Sasquatch or
yes.
Bigfoot the monster
yes.
truck?
No, Sasquatch.
Okay.
Definitely Sasquatch.
Okay.
But I'll post things that interest me, and you'll find out they interest other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's kind of neat. You know, I communicate with people from all over the world every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that you couldn't imagine. You know, I couldn't imagine when I was in high school communicating with people from all over the world, you know, on a daily basis. And I have met quite a few of the people that I communicate with. And that was kind of an interesting experience. And some of the commenters, they're not bloggers, some people that comment on the blogs, you know, you go back and forth with emails, and if they're close by, sure, let's get together for lunch or something. And that's been kind of nice.
Oh, good. 657-2941, 1-800-441-2941, if you'd like to get into the conversation as well. I'd like to kind of narrow the scope. You know, the national press is focused a lot on, let's say, the political blogs or the blogs that have a very decided political slant. And I think I'd like to start with, and David, if you would be so kind, what happened during the 2004 election cycle in South Dakota? The idea of paid bloggers, and in essence, I think it boils down to viral marketing almost, I think.
It does. There were a couple of prominent South Dakota bloggers, which I used to be on my blog roll. I used to link to them from my site and read them pretty regularly, who were deathly critical of Tom Daschle and backed his opponent thoroughly. I mean, obviously they were conservatives. Obviously they were pro-Republican. That's all fine with me. But eventually, it was CBS, actually, that reported that the two guys behind South Dakota politics were actually on the payroll of the Republican Party in South Dakota, which, to me, you know, seemed like a terrible offense. oddly enough, it doesn't seem all that terrible in portions of the blogosphere. And one prominent blogger, Hugh Hewitt, said that taking money is a lot less serious than displaying your biases, which I thought was ridiculous. And I took them off my blog roll, and I don't go look at them very often anymore. And I think that sort of thing is going to become increasingly common, and the FEC is... Federal Elections Commission is already looking into that kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm. And so that, I guess that brings up the larger question, too, with the huge amount of, like, the cable news channels that we have, this sort of parsing of the audience that's out there. There's people who align themselves with Fox News. There's people who align themselves with CNN. There's people who align themselves with MSNBC. Can you spend just a minute on the distinction between media and journalism? And just this idea of, I mean, they're both, you know, the communication, but what is really the difference? Can we just, is there a hard definition for journalism?
I don't think there's a hard definition of journalism. I think journalism is something you do. Media is a technology that you do it on.
Mm-hmm.
Journalism is gathering, reporting news, commenting on news. It's basically following the affairs of the day. It's mostly what happened yesterday.
Are there ethics involved with that? I mean, are there rules that you have to follow?
In journalism?
Uh-huh.
Well, theoretically there are, yeah.
But in practice, I mean, in real practice, are there?
In practice, in the dreaded MSM, yeah, there are strong ethical considerations that enter into what journalists do. They don't get much credit for it. You know, if you look at it in credibility surveys, journalists rank way down at the bottom. But actually, I read a study recently of moral reasoning in various professions, and journalists ranked very near the top. And I think we tend to think that we're ethical, and I think there's a fair amount of evidence that we are, but we don't get much credit for that with the public.
And Ed, on BillingsGazette.com, it started out with City Lights, and then I believe there was Scrambled Legs and Aiken, which mm-hmm. was a blog about somebody getting ready to run a marathon. But now... there's, I believe, 7 or 8 blogs that are associated with BillingsGazette.com. Do you know what the reason was for that huge proliferation? The Enjoy now has 501, their blog. There's a blog that's devoted to high school students, sort of blogging about what it's like to be a high schooler. There's even a blog that isn't very regularly updated on the legislative cycle mm-hmm. that's coming up, and I realize those guys up in Helena are
a little too busy.
Really incredibly busy. Believe me, I talk to Jackie Yamanaka on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I know what she's going through. What was the reason behind that? Is BillingsGazette.com trying to get its name out there more? Is this an attempt to sell more papers? Where's the intersection with the Gazette and this proliferation of blogs on its website?
Well, I think the Gazette is partly in the same boat I was in when I started, and that's knowing this is vitally important, but not quite sure why yet. But I think the Gazette, just by virtue of having some people in charge of the online operations who were forward-thinking and excited and enthusiastic, even before blogging, just did more to offer online services than any other paper in Lee. You know, we have 80 papers now or something, or 49, I don't know. Quite a few. And we were already out front of Lee Enterprises in offering online services. And so when blogging came along, it was just kind of the next thing to do online. And we realized that it gets thousands and thousands and thousands of readers. And mm-hmm. eventually, I'm sure we'd like to make money off that if we could. And
do they think that these are people who are going to be more apt then to pick up a Billings Gazette?
Well, it's, you know... We go back and forth about that ourselves, and I don't think it's something we really worry about now, about one or the other driving the other, because it really is such a separate thing. We have so many readers now who are from out of state, all these Montanans who keep up with Montana news on the internet, and now they're blogging, and eventually who knows how much advertising will be on the blogs or on the online news pages as compared to the print version.
And I should say that the other blog that I just remembered is the Digital Scrapbook, which is
right.
The photographers and how they captured their shots. It's sort of a niche site for shutterbugs, people who are interested in photography, because there's a lot of photographic terminology that goes along with that. This is how I got that shot. This is the aperture, the shutter speed, that type of thing. But it is a real window into that profession and that idea of how to, you know, what is a photographer looking for? And I think that even people who are only, you know, have a limited interest in photography are going to come to that, and they're going to come away with that maybe the next time they have their point and shoot camera out are maybe going to actually think about framing the shot and things like that.
Could I say one more thing about the site? I'm not sure you mentioned was the sports one.
Mm.
That's the amazing thing to me. Well, it's not amazing. It's common sense. I can write something about politics during the election cycle, and it seems real heated, and we'll have 40 people comment. That seems like a ton of comments. But then the sports blog will have a one-sentence posting about the Class C tournament and get 250 comments.
Oh, sure.
I mean, let's talk about what's really important in Montana.
Yeah, exactly. We've got another phone call. Let's go to a call from Billings.
Hello, I would like to thank you for this wonderful program you guys are putting on. And I am Randy from Secular Franciscan Life. A couple of you may have heard from me. And I would like to comment about, well, it's kind of funny, I want to comment about commenters on the blog. I know that Ed has had flame wars and basically, you know, mud wrestling and everything else going on in his. And Craig has had some commenters that basically have been persona non grata after a while because of the way they've gone down to personal attacks. And I'm just wondering, do you ever envision your blogs going without comments at all? And also, Ken, I was wondering when you're going to start your blog.
Yeah, that's, as a matter of fact, I was just talking about that with Marvin. We do the twice weekly call and show your opinion, please, regular listeners of, and it's just custom made for a blog, and it really does need to happen. I suppose if I could get some, additional help with the audio streaming and the, you know, doing the other stuff, because it's kind of a one man organization here. At that point, yeah, then we'll get on. We'll get Marvin to do some comments, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, if you have any technical questions, I'm sure Ed can help you out. He's really handy with that.
Okay.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And can we please define flame war? I mean, can we define what it is that we're talking about here?
Well, flame war typically, you know, that goes back to Usenet, which was a large kind of a bulletin board type deal. And a flame war would start typically on hot button topics that just degenerated into any just name calling, nasty, you know, questions about your heritage and whether it was human and, you know, that kind of thing. And, or, you know, I can remember spelling flame wars or punctuation flame wars that would go on for days. So the short version is it's just people getting nasty with each other for no other reason than to be nasty.
Okay.
I was going to add something about that. I think it's the anonymous nature of the Internet. It brings out the good in people, but it also brings out the bad in people. You'll have folks who in real life would never dream of confronting one of us, but they'll attack you for no reason at all sometimes. Sometimes they might have a reason, but a good deal of the time is you'll have someone that will go on to say Ed's blog, and granted, when you have four or five people start to comment, something I say makes somebody think of something else, and what we originally started talking about isn't what we're talking about anymore. But you'll have these people that'll turn it into whatever their agenda happens to be, whether it's abortion, whether it's something about Bush. You know, you were talking about cereal, and now it's about abortion. I understand people get overheated about things, but maybe this isn't the place for you to be getting overheated on it.
Okay. We do have a couple more calls I'd like to get to. We have a call from Lolo. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Mike Harris and Lolo. I guess before I make a couple of comments, I just wanted to say thank you to Yellowstone Public Radio for the program in general. I've been kind of corresponding and commenting on Karen's blog from time to time, getting ready to get into it myself and found the program very helpful. And all the other blogs out there, too. It's just amazing what kind of writing talent and just what kind of talent in general exists. And just as a quick comment to Karen, it's great to hear the accent. It brings back a lot of memories from my short time in New York, and it's just perfect. And just wanted to thank YPR for doing this. That's it.
Great. Thank you.
Are you starting with me?
And we're going to go now to a call from Ennis. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Ellie, and I'm calling from Ennis, Montana. And I would like to discuss a little bit about something completely different than has been discussed, and that is some of us like to blog just to blog. We're not involved in news. We're not involved in politics, per se, but we just want to get on there and just write something fun or silly and have people write back to us. I have people writing from Arizona, New Jersey, here in Montana, you know, several different places where we just get to know each other through blogging.
Okay, yeah, we should bring that up. That's a very good point. There are a lot of people who simply use a blog as a diary. They write about what's happening in their own lives. They write about trips they've taken. They send some pictures along. They write about intimate details. And as a matter of fact, an article popped up on Salon, which I hate to link to because you have to have the premium account to even get on it. But a woman who was blogging about after having a baby, she was dealing with depression and blogged about suicide. And her husband read this while he was traveling and just absolutely panicked. And so this idea that in some cases, you know, it becomes such a personal second nature part of yourself that you end up maybe exposing more about yourself than you might think originally that you were doing. Caller, would you like to comment on that? You say you like to blog just to blog. Do you blog a diary type blog, or are you looking out on the net and finding things that interest you?
Well, sometimes I find things that interest me, or I just look at other people's blogs that I generally go to and respond to those blogs, or I might just put something serious that I'm going through that day. Today my blog was about love-hate relationships, things that you either love them or hate them, depending on, you know, how they are suiting you in your life. So, you know, it can be used as a diary, but, you know, some of us like to just do it for fun. It's not just the serious political mumbo that you guys are discussing.
Nope. Now, wait a minute.
I'd like to jump
in
here.
The political thing is fine. I don't mean to insult you or anything, but, you know, there's a whole slew of us that do it just for the fun of it.
Which is exactly what I do. I have got nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, that's the other three here.
Well, Ellie, I'd like this is Craig jumping in here, and Ennis bloggers hold a special place in my heart since that was where I was born and raised. So,
well, that's cool.
Shouts and greets to all the folks back home.
Yes, and I got started. I'm a teacher, and I got started because some of my students started blogging. And so they got me on to start blogging, too. And I don't know if they're still blogging. You know how students are. You know, they're at something for one day, and the next day they're doing something else. But I'm still blogging, so.
Well, that was kind of an omission on our part, too, to start talking about blogging as if it was mainly a question of politics and culture and everything, because I think the majority of blogs at the beginning and probably still today were just what the original word meant, weblogs, where people got on and just talked about their lives. And those are still some of the most fun to read. Right here in Montana, we have the Monkey Cage, which is the most resolutely non-political, crazy website in Montana, which I find completely irresistible, as I'm sure most regulars do.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for adding a very important aspect to the conversation tonight as well. We're down to, we have 11 minutes left, and pretty much all the phone lines are lit up at the moment. We're going to go now to a caller from Missoula. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Sharon from Missoula.
Hi there.
I'm just calling first to thank all of you. It's very nice to hear voices of people that I've been reading for about a year now. And this is odd because I can't hear you. One of the callers asked about comments and whether you folks would consider closing the comments on your blog. And I just wanted to put my two cents in that I think that what makes blogging so wonderful is the interaction and the commenting, even though it takes a lot of time and energy sometimes to moderate that so that it doesn't turn into a flame war. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we're going to go to one more call, but then I would like to respond to that, the element of the comments. And in some cases, I think that Andrew Sullivan at AndrewSullivan.com has talked a lot about his reluctance to even allow comments in, because in a way it does take part of the ownership of the blog away from you and makes it more of the community of people who are commenting. But we're going to go now to a call from Billings. Go ahead.
Hi. This question actually is directed more towards Craig. I've been listening to the past couple of callers and have been hearing them talk about just personal blogs, which I myself keep one, and then looking at the professional side of that, something like what Ed does with the Gazette. And I guess my question is kind of directed towards Craig's webpage, which is somewhere nicely in the middle, and just wondering how you maintain a sense of, you know, political responsibility towards the people that are reading your blog in that sense, and, you know, how you kind of maintain a line between, you know, journalistic integrity and, hey, this is just my opinion out there.
Thank you for your call.
Mostly, I don't consider myself a journalist per se, and everything I put on is quite honestly my opinion. And if I'm talking about a story, I'll have a link to that story, and so that gives you, the reader, the opportunity to go ahead and look at what I'm talking about and decide for yourself, am I full of it or not? And you know, and I don't, like, you know, the main point is this is just me kind of carrying on one end of a conversation, and what I do is throw something out, and more or less you can put the title of almost every post is, hey, what do you guys think about this? I think it's kind of cool. And the important thing about blogging is that in almost every instance, and David does it, Ed does it, Karen does it, we all do it, is link, 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 link. So you don't have to take me at face value. Follow the links, and you'll find links to other links, and ultimately the onus is on you to decide, am I right or am I wrong?
And I want to touch on this, and then we will get back to the comments thing, I promise. But the importance of hyperlinks to blogs. Now, the hyperlink, the idea of a hyperlink, is pretty much one of the backbones of the internet, and that's usually the colored link that lets you, when you mouse over it, move your mouse over it, it switches to the little hand, and when you click on it, it takes you to the page that the person that's linking to it wants you to see. And it is the backbone, I think, of the internet. It's really, when Tim Berners-Lee came up with the idea of the internet, it's really one of the central purposes of it. But bloggers have really taken it and used it in such a way that I think has become really interesting, because the way in which they link, the words, the actual words that they choose, like, this article is interesting, and this article, those two words are the words that you're linking to. And anybody with even a modicum of internet savvy is going to know right away, well, those lit up words that are underlined, if I click on that, that's going to take me somewhere. But blogs especially rely so heavily on the idea of links. Does anyone, just open to the panel, do you want to talk about that in general? I know David's talked about it from the standpoint of the documentation, being able to go and see exactly what that person said. What is it? What are the things that you're looking for when you find what you think is a good link?
Well, this is Craig jumping in. Like I said, mostly what I'll find is what interests me, and I'll point a link to it with my commentary. And there are tools like Tony Hines mentioned called Technorati, which
is a website.
It's a website that tracks blogs and also where they're linking to, who they're linking to, and so forth. Daypop, Blogdex, and so forth. So if I comment, for example, on the finger in the chili in Wendy's, you can go to Blogdex and you can see everyone who's talking about it. So you're not limited to my point of view on it. You can hit Blogdex, search for that article, and boom, you've got opinions on it from the left, the right, the up, the down, the green, the red, and everywhere.
And this is also attracting people to your site as well, because if somebody does that and is just generically looking for somebody who's linked to the story on the finger that they found in the Wendy's chili, it's a possibility that someone's going to come across your site and, wow, they like what they see. And so suddenly you've become a part of their blog roll, which is sort of like the honor roll of. And I should mention, the four blogs that I've linked to on the blog page of Yellowstone Public Radio each have a long list of Montana bloggers, national bloggers, things of interest, all of that. So don't use the Yellowstone Public Radio page as the be-all and end-all. Use these blogs. I'd let them do the heavy lifting. But use those. And seriously, it is so much fun to just sit and go one after the other. Click on it. Find out what's at this blog. Find out what's happening here. Find out what's going on there. And just spend an afternoon if you have the time to do that. Okay, now we're down to our last 4 minutes, so can somebody please comment on the comments and do it in about 45 seconds?
Well, comments are hugely important in the whole theory of the blogosphere and the significance of blogs. The idea, Jeff Jarvis on Buzz Machine talks a lot about citizens' media. You know, this is the way to empower the ordinary person to be heard. I'm not quite convinced that that works. There are a lot of prominent bloggers who don't allow comments at all. You mentioned Andrew Sullivan, Glenn Reynolds at Instapundit is the same way. And there are others who are so popular, like Kevin Drum at Washington Monthly, who gets so many comments that even though he posts them all, I don't know who reads them. Sure as heck don't. So, you know, does a conversation develop? Ideally, it would. But even a really good, serious blogger like Jay Rosen at PressThink, who writes about press issues very seriously, where you would expect to have some real good interchange, those comments tend to degenerate pretty rapidly into, well, that's more liberal MSM.
And a follow-up question there, does blogging reflect the polarization that's embedded in our political culture, or does it aggravate it?
I think it does some of both. I think what Karen said earlier about the anonymity of it, I mean, one thing about working for a newspaper is when you write nasty things about people, you got to go look at them the next day. And that's part that comes with the job. And I think having that go away on the internet really does contribute to an ugliness. And I find myself increasingly going to people I agree with, even though I have a professional interest in reading about people I don't agree with. So I think it does fuel that to some extent.
Okay. And I think one of the things that we're realizing as we begin the process of wrapping up the program here is that there's been a lot of talk about traditional media, traditional journalism, the mainstream media. But I think that what we're seeing is that blogging already to a certain extent has become traditional. It is an embedded tradition among people who are taking advantage of that part of internet culture. It has its own hierarchy, I think it's safe to say. I think that it also has, just in terms of the credibility issue, people who have proven themselves to be a credible source, either of out-and-out information or links to that information. I think also people who have proven to have some kind of a level of wit, a level of interest that comes across in their blog that makes it interesting to want to read. So in that way, it has adopted many of the same things that make magazines or columnists popular. So in that way, it has sort of inculcated itself already into what we consider to be traditional media. But it's utilizing this new, relatively new, because really we're talking about 12, 15 years since the advent of the internet. Just some final comments. We'll just go around the panel. Karen, do you have anything you'd like to say to wrap up?
Well, I just think that a big part of it is sharing. People like to share, and they do, whether it's sharing a link or sharing your comments. And I think that a lot of times you'll notice that people will turn off their comments when they don't want to hear another opinion. It's the, I'm right, you're wrong, and I ain't listening to you.
Okay, Craig?
And I'd like to kind of go back to what the caller from Ennis said. There is a lot of friendship involved, and without blogging, I'd have never tried a Taylor ham or anything like that. So I think that's also a very important aspect.
Ed, final comments?
I love the interaction. I think if you have comments, you have a blog. If you don't have comments, you have a website.
Okay. And David?
Yeah, and I spend a lot of my time worrying about what it all means and where it's all going to go. I'm real fascinated by questions like that, and I have no clue.
Okay. Well, about 6-8 months from now, do you guys mind coming back and doing this again? Because I think we just scratched the surface in the hour that we've already used. We could probably have gone another half hour. Thanks to everybody who called, and thanks to everybody who's listening over the radio and over the web. Would also like to mention that if you do go to www.ypradio.org, we do have links to all four of the bloggers here tonight, and they have links to dozens and dozens of other Montana bloggers, national bloggers. There's also links on the YPRadio.org page to start your own blog, as well as some articles of interest. So thank you so much, Ed Kamick, David Crisp, Karen Hergenreiter, and Craig Sprout. Thank you all, and thanks to Chad Reinhart for answering the phones. We'll do this again.
Thanks. Thank you.
Chad.
This part of our programming is supported by Radiant Engineering of Bozeman, providers of Radiant Floor Heating System kits, components, and professional support for do-it-yourselfers. Phone 406-587-3442.